Good morning on a cold, cold and dark Wednesday.
Bitterly cold.
It was minus eight degrees when I left my house this morning. At least that's what the truck read.
I'm a little confused. I always thought that hell would freeze over if the Lions won a Super Bowl. And this is a cruel joke because they're not going to win the Super Bowl and we still have to deal with this.
Well, pigs slash hogs were flying. Are flying.
Yes, John. Yes. You said negative, was it negative?
Negative eight.
Negative one in my car. But
negative nine, I beat you all.
Most adversity from you. Yeah.
It's cold. That's all the better. So please be safe and be aware that if you're going to be outside right now, cover up the skin as much as you possibly can so you don't have to worry about frostbite. It'll happen quick.
What was your thing in the news yesterday? Like 30 minutes?
Oh, under 30 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's... you can have some fun with it too, though. And Heather, you could have more fun with this than obviously Jim or I. Have you seen some of the Instagram? Yeah, some of the Instagram videos where a lot of the ladies are coming out after having showered. Obviously, they get dressed, and their hair is still wet. Longer hair, it stays wet, and then they put their head so it's pointed down, and then it freezes, and then they come up, and their hair is.
I have seen it.
I think those are amazing.
I've seen it.
Yes.
Jim, not going to participate, really, but I've seen it.
It doesn't really work for us.
No. I was going to say, it's not going to get much of that effect.
Yeah.
So, bundle up. Stay warm as best you can today. This is not supposed to last, though.
Oh, no. There's going to be a warm-up. By the weekend, it's going to be 30.
Oh,
so we're good.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Yep. Yeah. Shorts weather.
There you go. A lot of Lions on the docket today. The update on just how many assistant coaches may be leaving. We'll get to that. Ben Johnson sound from Halas Hall in Chicago. And a talk about the Super Bowl window. Dan Campbell addressed it this week. We'll address it later this hour. John, briefly. Very dull hockey game last night for the Red Wings. They lost again.
One goal?
Yeah, one goal in each of the last three games. They've lost four of five now. Starting to trend the wrong way now. Where are we at with this team?
Well, that's where, I mean, it's Todd McClellan. All right, let's see what type of impact you can have on this team when not only is there a loss, but now there's a streak. And the streak is going the wrong direction. What does he do? How does he motivate these guys to stop the streak? And it's not like, you know, before under Lalonde, it would be an 11-shot appearance. It's not like they're not getting shots. They're just not getting the shots they need, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought they were the better team the second half of that game last night. The problem is that the Flyers are one of these teams. They're coached by John Tortorella, and they play this like try-hard hockey. They block a lot of shots. They muck it up. It's kind of low-event hockey, and you're just kind of playing in the neutral zone. And then they had a chance in overtime, and they didn't get enough quality chances in OT. They had a 3-on-2, and they didn't even get a shot off. And like you have to at least put the puck on the net and try to get a rebound and try to get a mismatch. You get the loser point, I think, is the only saving grace. They pick up a point, but they are they got to start winning some hockey games here.
This is where they started to make their run last year.
Yeah.
There was, a six-game run that they had last year at about mid to end of January that got them back into the playoff race, actually got them above the cut line. And then we know in March it completely fell apart. But, they're 5 points back of the cut line. This is where they really need to start making a legitimate run if this team has a hope of making the playoffs. Because there's a whole bunch of teams that are just bunched up. 52 right now with both Ottawa and Montreal. Boston's right there with 52. But there's four teams in between. So it's not like the Red Wings are the only team scratching and clawing to get to that cut line. You got Pittsburgh, who they just lost to. I mean, sorry, Philly, who they just lost to. Pittsburgh's there. The Rangers are there. The Jackets are there. It's jumbled up. And at some point, somebody's going to separate.
8-4 since McClellan took over. Still positive, but you're really starting to hit a little bit of a reality check here.
It was such a deep hole that they had to dig out of.
Yeah, and the power play's been awesome. I think since Christmas, they've been the number one power play in hockey. They didn't get a chance yesterday.
Right.
And they were truly put in five-on-five situations where you're going to find out if you're good enough or not, and they weren't good enough last night. And, I think this stretch now, 8-4, You gotta keep finding a way to win. They'll be back at home on Thursday against Montreal.
Right. So there was a four-game road trip, mm-hmm. and they won that first game against Florida. Everybody's okay. All right. Yeah. You know, it's a response to the loss to San Jose. It was on the road against a good team.
Yeah.
Now they're gonna get three at home: Montreal, Tampa, L.A. And I know you're gonna be there Thursday night. So it is a chance to come home and respond.
Have to. By the way, I saw the stat that they never win in Philadelphia. It's like 2-18-3. Their last however many games that adds up to. They just never win at Wells Fargo. They never win in Philadelphia.
Yeah. What's that show that used to be on TV? Was it Always Sunny in Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not quite that way.
Mm-hmm. Always rainy.
Yes.
When the Wings go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly.
248-539-9797. If you got thoughts on the Red Wings, we're going to just start with them for a couple minutes here, and then it's all Lions the rest of the way.
What do they have to do to get out of this slump?
Yeah, I wonder if they tinker with the lines. I mean, I know that's kind of the go-to is you throw the lines in a blender. Lalonde probably did it too often. You got to be careful because you do need to build some consistency. I think the top line looked good. Kasper with Larkin and Raymond. I've liked that line together. Elmer Soderblom made his season debut in the National Hockey League after going, 2 years almost without playing. He was on the fourth line. I thought he looked the part. Do you try to bump him up on maybe a third line? I wonder. They've been playing Kane and DeBrincat together with Kopp in the middle. Do they swap out Kopp for Compher? Do they try to generate a little more with that line 5-on-5? Because when the goal scoring perked up, they started winning all these games. And right now they're in a rut where they're just not scoring enough right now.
Right. I mean, so you look at, when they were winning, all right, 4, 5, 6, another 5 against Florida. That was on the road.
Yeah.
And obviously the last three games, you mentioned it, 3 goals in 3 games.
Yeah, the Panther game, though, a little misleading. A lot of power play goals. I think 3 of the 5 were power play goals, and they've been so good, but you have to be better 5-on-5 because you're not always going to get 3 or 4 power plays in a game. Sometimes it'll be a game like last night where you're going to have to fight and muscle your way for good positioning and puck possession and putting shots on net. So 5-on-5, they've got to be better, and I wonder if that's an area that you can tinker with the lines.
Well, I think you're spot on because what was the thing about we kept talking about when Lalonde was here? Right, they just can't play 5-on-5 hockey.
No.
And so if that's the case, like that's where McClellan is really going to have to show his worth is how do you get these guys to be better at that? All right, you've got the power play. Feels like it might be, at least you have some answers. I'm not going to say solved, but you got some answers. What are you going to do 5-on-5?
Ticket texters reacting to both the weather and the Red Wings. The first one says, I swear every time the car flags are mentioned, the Red Wings start going the wrong direction.
Did you ever put it up though?
No.
No, so, okay.
Absolved.
Absolved. We could talk about it all you want. You didn't put the sunglasses on. You didn't put the necklace on. You didn't put the car flag up.
They didn't. Yeah, exactly. And this one says, it's currently -9 in Holly. I'm supposed to be working on pole lights outside today.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe push that back a day or two.
Yes, well, sometimes you can't.
I know.
Yeah.
And, how do you possibly bundle up enough to be outside in this weather?
You can get electric socks. I've been skiing in negative 15 negative.
You can get electric about anything now.
Yeah, and they really do make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Base layers, mid layers, good coat.
This is where you own the Carhartt.
Yeah.
It works. I worked outside years ago in college in this kind of weather, and I had Carhartt, and it kept me warm.
Yeah.
You got to layer up a little bit, but the Carhartt works.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
ski mask. You can't have the exposed skin. I mean, as best you can.
No, you got to try and cover up as much as possible. But it's, when I used to ice fish all the time, there were times where, we'd be in a shanty. Other times we'd be out. And you find ways to get the job done.
Heat packs, like hand warmers, feet warmers. They make all kinds of stuff, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you literally can get a heated piece of clothing in anything. Gloves, socks.
Full vests.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if you got to work outside today, like 6, 7, 8 hours.
You're not.
Well, you just have to take breaks, right? It's you could be outside for half hour, 45 minutes, and then you warm up in the truck for, 10 or 15. Then you go back to what you're doing. You're not going to get as much done, but you find a way. Sometimes you don't have an option.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to pay the bills. Yeah. That's a job. 248-539-9797. All right, we have an update on the Lions coaching situation here. You know Ben Johnson's the Bears head coach. What about Aaron Glenn? And what about the assistants? A lot of rumors about where guys may be going. We'll fill you in next. It's 97.1.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that's going to specialize in the resolution of all types of tax problems. When dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case can take a lot of twists and turns. You need somebody familiar with it and experienced, and that's Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal, or even the Michigan Department of Treasury, whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes. You need a real team of local lawyers, not a tax organization with a random individual that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wings losing OT. Ken Cal's call. Wings have lost 4 of 5 after a 7-game win streak.
Did you see the aerial shot, too? You're like, it's sitting on the line.
No.
Somebody, please scoop it out.
You get the 1 point. There's your silver lining. Ticket texture. We were talking about the weather briefly. How cold it is.
Yeah.
Candy ass morning crew telling us how to deal with -7 degrees. I love it. Hey, if you guys have a solution to deal with the cold, let us know on the ticket text. Because it is brutally cold. And if you got to work outdoors.
How are we candy ass?
Well, we get to sit in a heated studio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Are you taking offense that someone would insinuate that you, John Jansen, was candy ass?
No, I'm trying to figure out, it's not like we're sitting here saying, we were, okay, whatever.
Anyway.
Yeah.
If you're outdoors today, we're thinking of you, and if you have solutions.
Say it to my face!
If you have solutions you want to pass along to people, send them in on the ticket text. Okay, for the Lions, John, Ben Johnson's gone. We expect Aaron Glenn to be gone as well. Within that, there are assistants that could be leaving as well. Let's just give people the latest on what the rumor mill is saying. Hank Fraley is interviewed not once but twice with the Seattle Seahawks.
For the OC job.
Yes. And there's also this belief that Ben Johnson may want to take Hank Fraley with him to Chicago. No official word there, but that's something to consider. Aaron Glenn, if he leaves, when he leaves, is going to take some coaches, we would assume. I've seen Mark Brunell would be a name he would try to poach, maybe as an OC. Would Kelvin Shepard come with him to be a defensive coordinator if he's not the DC in Detroit? Terrell Williams could be the defensive coordinator with the New England Patriots, reuniting with Mike Vrabel. Did I miss anybody? That's quite a few names.
It is. And obviously other, assistants that we haven't made could leave with Glenn, or Ben Johnson could stay. And so there's a few things I'm sure that they are considering. One of them is going to be, for Hank Fraley, let's just take him for example. If he goes to Seattle, say they offer him that OC job, it's a bump in pay, it's a bump in title. Everybody wants to keep moving up. They want the promotion. But the stability probably won't be what it is in Detroit. Same thing with if Ben Johnson says, hey, want you to come to Chicago with me, he's going to have to sweeten the pot. Is it, even though Ben is probably going to be the one calling the plays, by title, is he going to be the OC/O-line coach, run game coordinator, all of those different things? Ultimately, is it a bump in pay? Well, how many years? All of those things will be considered, because if you stay in Detroit, you've been here for some time, and maybe you don't want to get stagnant, you don't want to get stale, you don't want to get pinned as just this guy, you know, typecast, mm-hmm. so to speak. But you know Dan's going to be loyal to the guys that he brought with him. If you're doing a good job, you're not at risk of losing your job. Dan, as of now, is fairly secure. And so you might be giving up some security because you go with a new head coach. Not every head coach is going to hit. We think Ben Johnson's going to be good. We have no idea what he's going to be as a head coach. Same thing with Aaron Glenn. With the Jets, like it's just, hey, it's not a great organization you're going to. And you know, there's that all plays a factor into will we lose? I think there are a lot of guys that are kicking the tires. Some of it is the threat of I might leave. So here's a bump in pay where you're at. Here's another year on your contract where you're at. And that may be all some of these guys are looking for.
Terrell Williams previously was with Vrabel in Tennessee.
Right.
And I know Dan Campbell loves him. He thinks he's the best defensive line coach in the NFL. But it's a DC job, potentially with a coach he's already worked with. I kind of think...
So the question
then is... I kind of expect him to go too, as lousy as that is.
Well, I 100% get... If you've worked with a guy before, you've worked with Vrabel. You know what you're stepping into. Plus, it's a... We talk about the title, the coordinator job. It's a step up, and it's going to be more pay. So is he going to enter, if Aaron Glenn leaves, would he be a candidate for the DC job here?
Well, that becomes the question. Are you going to promote guys just so you don't lose them?
Right.
As opposed to promoting them because they're
qualified.
Well, yeah, they're qualified, but are they the right guy? Which right. I know is the question,
yeah.
You know, as opposed to an outside, like, would you rather have Robert Saleh or Terrell Williams? I mean, these are the conversations right. Dan's going to have to sift through, and he said he's not going to be in any rush, but these guys are going to be making decisions here in the next week or two. So, update on Ben Johnson coming up at 6:35. He was in Hallis Hall in Chicago. We'll talk about the OC preferences that we have and you have as well. Let's get to Heather with the news.
All right, we talked about the weather, and when it is this cold outside, if you have remote start on your car, I think you are using it.
Oh, I used it twice right? this morning.
Yes, I think you are going to use it, but experts say that it's not actually doing your car any favors. So back in the day, cars used to be needed to be warmed up before you drove them because they had carburetors.
Right.
Right, and there was all, you know... The carburetor needed to be warmed up so that you didn't stall out, things like that, right? I don't know the ins and outs of
right,
all of
yes.
that. But nowadays, most
fuel
cars...
Fuel injection
yes,
has solved that problem.
Exactly. They will work no matter what the temperature is outside. And Firestone is saying that idling your engine could actually damage your engine's pistons, decrease your car's fuel efficiency, and hurt the environment. So they are saying, hey, you know what? Just cancel, get rid of the whole warming up your car routine. Now, really? I think they're missing something. I have never warmed up my car for my car. You know what I warm my car up for?
For me.
Yes.
Exactly.
For me.
Yes.
I'm warming it up for me. They have forgotten about me. I mean, like, my shoulders and my arms this morning were, I still feel like my neck is kind of, like, because I was so cold in my car, I was kind of, like, you know, like, shivering when your shoulders mm-hmm. rise up a little bit towards your ears that I was getting, like, my shoulder. I warmed the car up for myself. I don't care about the car.
I think people are willing to sacrifice a little wear and tear.
I agree.
100%.
I agree.
On the car and not themselves.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. The Detroit Lions sent an email to season ticket holders on Tuesday, and it featured a letter from owner Sheila Hamp. So in the letter, she recognizes the upsetting nature of Detroit's playoff loss to the Commanders. But she also goes on to say how proud she is of all the players, the coaches, basically every single person that works for the organization. And she says that she has hope for the future, and she noted she is confident in where this team is going. And of course, she went on to thank the fans as well for their continued support, for them always wearing and showing up in their team gear, the Honolulu blue, and for continuing to drive the one pride. So
she highlighted both the support at home mm-hmm. and also the support that fans gave this team on the road too.
Yes. Yeah. So I know we're going to dive a little deeper into this, but
it's a weird season to try to sum up. She said she's proud, but also that they fell short and like, Both things are kind of true.
It is true. So Marvin's Marvelous Mechanical Museum has run into a few hiccups in its move to West Bloomfield. So back in December, it was announced that the arcade plan to relocate to this larger space in Orchard Mall. But just recently, the owners learned of this ordinance that requires an entertainment business, which they are now being classified as, to be at least 100 feet from a residential lot line, and also requires the business entrance to be an entrance that is shared in common with the rest of the mall. Now, the owner said they were actually surprised to be classified as an entertainment venue, even though they are, but they said that typically goes for places like bars, right? Which he says, we're nothing like that. We don't make this much noise. Right now, the new space is only 80 feet from a residential lot line. Also, the door is facing a parking lot. So there is these hiccups. You know, the owner is still saying, hey, this is only a small bump in the road. We're going to move on. Everything's going to work out. But they're hoping maybe they can change some of this. Supporters are organizing a petition. I mean, people love this place. So they're trying to do everything they can to get it up and running quickly. Netflix, get ready, is raising its prices again. This is the first price increase since October of 2023, and every single plan, even the ad-supported plan, will be affected. The biggest hike is going to be in the standard plan, which is going from $15.49 to $17.99 a month. The premium plan going from $22.99 to $24.99. No exact timeline for when this price increase will take effect, but I would imagine in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Every time the price goes up, I ask myself, do they have enough good signature shows to justify it?
I know.
Yeah.
You know?
But then I always seem to keep it.
I know.
I've bounced around on some of them.
I do too.
Because if you bounce around enough and you can't... After a month or two of not having it, they'll send you an email that says, hey, you can rejoin. Ooh. And for the first 6 months, you get half price. So I rejoin for 6 months. After that 6 months is up, cancel.
You binge Squid Games, then you get out.
Yeah. I never got into Squid Games. Not my thing.
They got season two out.
I know. I'm not going to watch it.
Not for you either, John?
No, I tried to watch it. It's
subtitles, they get you?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of English reading dub. My movies.
They do an English dub. They have options for you, John. Anyway. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the latest from Ben Johnson, what he was saying in Chicago and what they're saying here. How do you replace him? Do you have a guy, John? We'll get to it. It's 97.1. Did you see the videos yesterday, Ben Johnson? In Chicago?
Yeah, going into the practice facility, their main facility, entering to a standing ovation and cheers. Got to make sure we're there to see the boss sees us.
He did the video, two Bears fans wearing the Bears hat. It just looked weird. Then you see him without a hat, too, like, you know, hair combed over, button-up shirt, looking the part of a head. It was a weird sight. And now he's in the division, and you're going to see him twice a year. We have the audio. This was him yesterday in Chicago.
We all know that individual, right? As soon as he says, this is exactly where we wanted to be, and then somebody shouts out, this is where we want you. Like, that individual corny. In the company where you're like, dude, this isn't the time or the place. You want to kiss ass. You want to, you know, bury your nose, then, you know, do it another time. Not in front of everybody else. It's just awkward.
As you took it all in, how'd you feel about it?
I didn't have really any feelings. Like, I mean, I know on social media when he says this is exactly where we wanted to be, it wasn't a shot at Detroit.
Some people take it that way, though.
When he was in his head coaching search, there were, four legitimate options for him, three as he started to pare things down. And if that's what he has to say about the selection or the options that he had, this is where we wanted to be, so be it. Good luck.
Kind of.
Good luck, because you're with a dysfunctional franchise, and you could say all you want about the front office and, hey, they've made their mistakes. They're going to learn from them. That's not always true. Like, you can't keep making mistakes.
I mean, it could end up being a lame duck GM, and
right,
and they got to reset next year. They've kind of built their team outside in, which feels counterintuitive for Ben Johnson, which is you want to win up front to set up all the stuff you want to do creatively, offensively. I'm not convinced it's going to work there. He is out from Dan Campbell's shadow as a leader, a mentor. Dan ran a collaborative offense, as we understand it. It wasn't like Ben Johnson was off in a room with a whiteboard as a mad scientist. It was collaborative. He doesn't have that now, that Dan Campbell backstop. So we're going to find out what he's truly made of. And he doesn't have Penei Sewell, and he doesn't have Frank Ragnow. And we'll see if he can pluck Hank Fraley and try to recreate it in Chicago. But I'm not convinced it's going to work. So I'm not afraid. I also don't have any animosity towards Ben. I don't like the Bears. I want the Lions to beat him twice a year. But this was $13 million. This was a head coaching job. Neither option was available in Detroit. They weren't cutting him a check for $13 million a year. They weren't promoting him to head coach. He didn't do anything atypical, right?
Guaranteed money.
Right. That's a great point. When Dan Campbell took the Lions job, it was a couple days after the Saints had been eliminated. Ben didn't do anything. He didn't break protocol. He didn't do anything unprofessional. He's on arrival. And you want to kick his ass, but I don't have any like venom towards Ben Johnson now that he's with the Bears.
Well, yeah, and there's no sure thing. Like, we didn't know there was a sure thing. And certainly when Dan was hired, like, there's no track record. There's no track record for Ben Johnson either. It's like drafting a quarterback number one overall. You're really hopeful that it works, but there's no guarantee. And more often than not, it doesn't seem to.
I was going
to
say, I don't have the odds in front of me, but I tell you, there's more Jamarcus Russells than Peyton Mannings.
And that's why there's always 5, 6, 7 head coaching jobs every single year. Because it doesn't always work.
And Ben knows it. It's why he was selective. It's why he had... And that's the thing. I really do view him as someone who did love it here, chose to stay here, passed up pay raises and title raises each of the last two seasons. This was a job that was too good for him to pass up. So
he did his due diligence.
He did his homework on it. Now, the Lions will do their homework, John. Do you have a name, by the way? I know everybody's looking at the potential options from within, from the outside. We don't know them as well as Dan Campbell knows the internal staff, who's ready for that level of responsibility. But as you sit here today, what do you want? What do you expect? Where are you at?
Well, if we, and I do, believe that this is Dan Campbell's offense and the base of it. Now, the play calling, the creative plays, whether it's collaborative, whether it's Ben Johnson, all that stuff, we'll find out as the offense takes the field next year and how they're things are being called and, you know, are they still as creative as they have been? But you do want to remain the same. And if it's Dan Campbell's offense, you look back and say, okay, well, who else has he worked with before? Or maybe has worked with Sean Payton? Because this is obviously, he learned a lot from Sean Payton in his time with him. And he talks about, like, he mentioned it even at the beginning, you know, in our conversation, the last interview we had with him, after the season last year, he called Coach Payton.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, got advice, got all this stuff. So Pete Carmichael Jr. is a guy that was a play caller in New Orleans. He is currently a senior offensive assistant, where? With Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. I got to believe that instead of being a senior offensive assistant, he might like to call plays again. I think that's one that Dan will probably kick the tires on. Another guy that has connection to the time that he spent in New Orleans, and that's John Morton, who, where is he? The Denver Broncos, the passing game coordinator. So I would look for some of those guys to want to take a step up and be, you know, offensive coordinator, whether they have before or not. And this doesn't take into account the guys that are currently on the staff. We've talked about Tanner Engstrom. You know, he's the passing game coordinator. And if there's a spot where there's been really nice creativity and rhythm in the offense, it's been in the passing game, the route trees. How does Amon Ross St. Brown get open? Some of it's on him. Some of it's on the ability to coordinate those different routes. So I think that will be one that Dan internally will kick the tires on as well.
Yeah, Tanner's a guy who it felt like was Ben Johnson in waiting, at least on the outside. I don't know. I'm sure this isn't a surprise to the organization that Ben Johnson's a head coach. I'm sure they had some idea of, hey, let's start putting more on certain guys' plates so that they may be ready for a potential promotion. I wanted to ask you about Hank Fraley. because you are an offensive line guy. We know this team wins with the offensive line. You've highlighted Hank as one of the great offensive line coaches in this league. Do you think enough of him to where you'd promote him to keep him, to protect him from being stolen?
So the question remains then, because the strengths of an offensive line coach are going to be in run blocking and play calling for runs, but also obviously pass protections. You got to be an ace at understanding defenses and where the blitzes are coming from, all of those different things. Can he be a guy that has a creative passing attack? And is he able to call those through the course of a game? Those are going to be the big questions. And if you're able to, let's just say you promote Hank Fraley to offensive coordinator, is Tanner Engstrom going to stay on as pass game coordinator?
Can I ask maybe a creative question?
Sure.
College does co-coordinators. You don't see that in the NFL.
No, because you're going to have... Even in college, like that's by name and it's promotion and it's salary.
It's more than it is. Anyway.
But it's also if you have, and whether it's co or not, you have coordinator in your title. The only way that you can leave before your contract is up, unless somebody's willing to pay an exorbitant fee is to become a head coach.
So, yeah, I just wonder, are there protections where you can do co? And if not, here's the other consideration. Could you make Hank Fraley the OC, but tell Tanner you're calling plays? Frank, you get...
Why would you do that?
To try to keep him.
Well, then just make Tanner your coordinator, if he's the one calling plays.
I'm asking the question.
Right, yeah. No. So, I don't mean to be...
I'm admittedly trying to color outside the lines here. I want to keep as many of these guys as possible, give each of them more responsibility. For Hank, if it's about the title, because you're not going to call plays in Chicago, if Ben's trying to bring you... You won't call plays here, but you'll get the pay raise, the title raise. You'll be our OC. And for Tanner, we'll give you the chance to actually call plays on game day, which is what you'd be getting if you left the organization.
What's the value of keeping Tanner and having him call plays, but not making him the coordinator? You give Hank Fraley the title because you don't want to lose him. You don't want to lose him, so pay him. Yeah. That comes down to what are you willing to pay a coach? Because there's no salary cap on coaching staffs.
Yeah.
But there is running a responsible franchise. And can you replace Hank Fraley with another offensive line coach? Can you replace Tanner Engstrom? If he's the guy, if it's one or the other, who do you want to keep? Who do you want to replace?
And they may end up losing a couple assistants on both sides of the ball.
But you brought up a great point. Now, when we come back, I want to bring up that great point.
Okay, great. Stroke my ego coming up next, 97.1.
Hey, there's nothing like the NFL playoffs, or so we thought. It's one big game after another, or so we thought. And you know what? If you want to find a way to still be involved in the playoffs, big games deserve big payouts. That's why FanDuel is giving all customers a same-game parlay profit boost every game during the NFL playoffs. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or you already have an account. This one is for everyone. It's all-inclusive. You're going to score a bigger payout if your SGP hits. Sometimes they've got some made for you. You could pick from, or you could build your own. Don't watch from the sidelines. Visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to get in on the action. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit to get a same game parlay profit boost every game day during the NFL playoffs. And make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Bonus issued as now a trouble profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fallout from Saturday night will continue. We'll talk Lions Super Bowl window, quotes from Dan Campbell. But first, John, I've waited long enough. You said I was making a good point.
Yeah, you did. And you talk about developing coaches on your own staff. It's been no secret over the last couple of years that Ben Johnson has been sought after. So if that's the case, has Dan Campbell, and this should have been going on, has he been developing, whether it's Tanner Engstrom, Mark Brunell, and you would want to be doing this with more than one guy because you never know who is actually going to hit on that, you know, play caller magic that you're looking for, or Hank Fraley. During the preseason, Like, we always talk about, well, in the second half, we need to see the backups and we need to see this and that. And what do we want to see from Hendon Hooker when he goes in there? Well, it's never publicized. It's I don't think it's ever been asked. Who's calling plays in the second half?
It's interesting.
Because it may be, who's calling plays in the fourth quarter? Maybe, hey, Hank, you got the fourth quarter of the second preseason game. And it's not an envious position to be in, but you get a feel for the rhythm and how a guy responds. Okay, this play didn't work. Where are we going next? Because that next play is coming right now, and you got to be ready. So what is the system that Dan Campbell has in place, knowing that Ben Johnson could have left last year, could leave this year, ultimately does, and even if he had stayed another year, how are you developing somebody internally to take over that position? And Tanner Ekstrom, did he get some of those play calls? Did he design a practice offensively, a script, to be able to go out there during training camp? All of those different things should be going on so that you are prepared, knowing we're successful. Eventually, our coaches are going to be coveted. Am I ready so that we can have some continuity? That's going to be the big question, is the continuity of the offense, the voice, the play caller. Obviously, it's going to be different. Can you keep some of that continuity by hiring from within, promoting from within?
I expect them to promote from within offensively because this offense has been collaborative, because Dan Campbell has been more involved in the offense than even the defense, because he'll have a good idea on who's contributing to those game plans per week, and there'll be a similar philosophy in terms of setting stuff up and what are we calling different route concepts and formations, and there won't be a new language for an outsider to have right. to come in and adapt to. Defensively, though, I do think we could see someone from the outside. I think they'll still have to fit the principles of this defense. Campbell said as much this week. I know Robert Saleh is a popular name. I think he makes some sense. We got to see Aaron Glenn leave first before that even really becomes a serious conversation. But right. Campbell's got to have names already that he's ready to consider.
Right.
Yeah,
you've got to be you always have to be prepared throughout the course of a season. So if something doesn't go right, all right, why is it not going right? Who is the one that's not holding up their end of the bargain? And if it's your DC, if it's your linebackers coach, like and Dan has made fired coaches in season and been ready to, you know, hand the responsibilities off to somebody else. So the benefits of hiring from within, and these all may seem very obvious, and I think they are, but it's not just the familiarity with the offense. Now that they have built this roster to be a really good roster, players that they actually want to keep and are re-signing, it's the play caller. How much and how comfortable are you knowing what Amon-Ra St. Brown is really good at? All right. And as fans, okay, he's good at catching the ball. He's good at running routes. Like, but what routes are his best routes? And what does that pair with what J-Mo does? All of that knowledge and intricacies of calling plays for guys to do what they do best. We talk about putting guys in position for success. That it takes time. If another coach comes in here, he's going to have to watch a lot of film on each individual guy to then put together game plans. And there's time to do that, but the process is sped up. The continuity remains there if it's Tanner Engstrom or if it's Hank Fraley or if it's Mark Brunell or, you know, Antoine Randle, any of those guys.
Scotty
know,
Montgomery, any yeah. of those guys. And I think Goff, having say, is going to have probably a preference from right. the current staff. And I know Ben Johnson, it was reported, would take out plays that Goff didn't like. You know what I mean? They get on the same page, play to the quarterback strengths, among all the other right. things you laid out.
And what are the strengths and weaknesses of Goff? Like, and you don't want to have a guy
learning
to come in and say, okay, from experience, I know that he's good at these protections or against these blitzes. He's got a good feel for it, knows where they're coming. He's got a weakness for these other ones. Well, a new coordinator coming in from the outside, you might not realize that until those plays are called in the game, and then it's obviously too late.
248-539-9797. Jim in Linden, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Morning, fellas. Hey, these ungrateful Lions fans. I'm so happy for Ben Johnson. Congratulations. Next man up coaching-wise. Defensively, I think we should go after Antonio Pierce defensively. I don't know if he's already got a job, but I really, really would love to see Antonio Pierce defensively. Have a great day.
He currently is unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dan's going to explore all options. And, you know, it's not like there's, hey, I'm going to go to the search firm. That's not what you do. But again, knew Aaron Glenn was going to be interviewing, knew he was going to be leaving. And so I'm sure during the season, and it's not a distraction, you have to prepare for what is next.
Texter says, I think the right move for Campbell is to act like he's starting over from day one, picking his staff. Don't overvalue your own just because you don't want to lose them. Another texter says, guys, there's so many coaches probably really hoping that Dan Campbell gives them a call about the opportunity in Detroit. So don't overvalue your guys and miss out on getting the right guy.
Right. And that's what we talked about yesterday. These coordinator jobs, working in Detroit, it's going to be a benefit in free agency. You're not going to have to overpay guys. You're going to have guys that want to come to Detroit. It's the same thing with your coaching staff. You have built a culture of winning and of loyalty. And coaches are going to be seeking out if Aaron Glenn leaves. I guarantee you Dan's phone is going to be ringing off the hook with a guy that knows a guy that really wants to be in Detroit.
And he'd fit right in and all that other stuff. Yeah. Texter says, hope Ben loses every game and freezes his ass off in Chicago. Rivalry, baby. Dan Campbell spoke about the window. He was asked this week, hey, if you lose both these coordinators as you expect to, what does that mean for your Super Bowl window? We'll play that next. We want your responses as well. How many years? What is the Super Bowl window? It's 97.1.